Beloved congregation of the Lord, this afternoon we're considering the sacrament of holy baptism, and we want to do that from Titus chapter 3 verse 5 and from Lord's Day 26, questions and answers 69 through 71. Titus 3 verse 5, this is God's holy word, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. In Lord's Day 26, question 69. How are you admonished, or we would say instructed, and assured by holy baptism, that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to you? And the answer, thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? And this is the answer. It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely, for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Question 71. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated where the scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration, that's Titus 3 verse 5, and the washing away of sins. The help of the Lord, we're considering then the theme, the sacrament of holy baptism. At first we want to see its instruction and its assurance. Secondly, its washing with the blood and spirit of Christ. And thirdly, its scriptural grounds. First then, its instruction and assurance. The last time from Lord's Day 25, we were introduced to the idea of the sacraments as means of grace. And we learned that there are two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that broader instruction about baptism begins with question 69, where we are asked, how are you instructed and assured by holy baptism? So instructed and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross is of real advantage to you. So even just from a quick reading of that question, you see that baptism is concerned with the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is connected with Jesus Christ. If in this sermon we only talk about baptism without ever mentioning the Lord Jesus Christ, this would be very poor. It must deal with Jesus Christ. If we only talk about the waters of baptism and the children of baptism and parents and pastors, that's like showing the treasures of the palace and ignoring the king. No, the catechism emphasizes that one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, that's the ground on which the gospel of baptism comes to us. That's what baptism assures us of and instructs us. You remember in Lord's Day 25, the sacraments as a sign instruct us, and as a seal they assure us. And what is it that they instruct us and assure us? That the one sacrifice of Christ is of real advantage to me. So that becomes right personal again, doesn't it? Are you sure that the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross is of real advantage to you, personally? We all know that that sacrifice was made, but was it made to your advantage? There's no neutral position when it comes to the cross of Christ. If it is not of a real advantage to me, then it is a real disadvantage to me. And Catechism points us the way to baptism as giving us the assurance of this. Baptism instructs me and assures me that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. We often look for this assurance. We think very deeply and very far. We talk to people sometimes say, are you sure? You sure about being saved by Christ? And they want to say, well, I hope my sorrow for sin was deep enough. Or I hope my prayers are earnest enough. Then I would know. Or my good works are holy enough. Then I will know that Christ died for me and I'm saved. But our catechism doesn't go in that direction. Because the catechism knows when we want to think about what we are doing and how we are doing, then we tend to wander away. It's so obvious here. Baptism is a means to assurance of faith. When we are baptized as infants or as adults, we are passive. We're not doing anything. Children, if our parents hadn't told us later on, we wouldn't even know that we were baptized as infants. That was to our advantage. Without us doing anything. Later on, when the Catechism speaks of the Lord's Supper, then we become active participants, partakers of the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But even here, the Catechism doesn't use vague language. No, it says baptism assures me. Assures me of what? That I am washed of all my sins through the blood of Christ. And the washing away of sins is mentioned here specifically because water, the waters of baptism is such a striking picture of the blood of Christ. God gave ordinary water such cleansing power that it washes away filthiness from our bodies. That's why water is such a fitting symbol of the blood of Christ that washes away the filthiness of our souls. Baptism promises and seals to me the washing away of sin. One old pastor said those water drops of baptisms are God's messengers to us. You are washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from all the pollution of your soul. I see some skeptical looks already, but let's read it very carefully. I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water. We do not confess here, I hope I shall be washed from all my sins someday. Or there's an outside chance that this happened. It's not a promise for the far future. Baptism states it as a fact. Something that is true already. The forgiveness of sins, beloved, is not the result of water baptism. But it is God's promise sealed in baptism. That's why it's so sure. Because God's promise is sure. If I ever doubt the forgiveness of my sins, baptism says, God didn't lie. God can't lie. God promised it. He sealed it to me in baptism. Baptism is not just a formality. It's not just something that happens in the Reformed Church and we do it because that's what we do in the Reformed Church. Baptism is not something that just happened to me, but really doesn't mean anything. No, God promised and sealed to me that my sins are forgiven. God gave me baptism as the proof, as a ground on which I can always plead. God binds Himself to His word and His promises. Also, this promise of baptism, that I am washed from all my sins. God has promised that it is so. And the Lord gives baptism to assure us of the truth of God's promise in Christ Jesus. A few weeks ago we had baptism here. Several babies were baptized. At the end of that service, did we go around asking, were those babies really baptized? Were they baptized? We didn't ask that because we saw it with our own eyes. Now, in our Lord's Day here, we don't ask, am I really washed from all my sins? We're not asking that question. We're saying, as sure as I am washed externally with water, so certainly I am washed from all my sins. And some of you are thinking, Pastor, where have you been? What seminary did you go to? You're going way too far here. Baptism doesn't save people. I know it doesn't. Is every person washed by the blood and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that what you're saying? No, that's not what I'm saying. Don't you know, Pastor, that the Bible says it's not all Israel which is called Israel? It's all true. But we need to remind ourselves what we are doing here. We are reading a confession. These are the words of a believer. The words of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A person called out of darkness into God's marvelous light through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are true believers speaking here of the deepest conviction of our souls. Hypocrites and unrepenting unbelievers, even if they're baptized, have no part in this matter. They're totally ignored in this answer. If that's you, you have no voice to confess this confession. But here speaks a believer, and he says, I am washed from all my sins. And baptism assures and instructs me of this fact. And it's not because I'm better than anyone else, but it is by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. You see, before we can acknowledge the saving language of baptism, we need to acknowledge the condemning language of baptism too. You remember what the form says? We with our children are conceived and born in sin. And we are children of wrath. And baptism declares to us that we are unclean. And we need to be washed. And under this truth, I humble myself before God and I learn to seek salvation outside of myself in Christ Jesus. And when I do, I may declare baptism instructs and assures me of the washing away of my sins through the blood of Christ. You see, baptism shines a beam of bright light through your life. And it forces you to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus is the fountain from which we may always drink. Baptism directs us to the pleading ground to which we may always turn. And that is the ground of the precious blood of Christ by which I am cleansed, to which baptism points. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts. That's answered in baptism. We are baptized in the name of God the Father. God the Father witnesses and seals to us that He makes an eternal covenant of grace with us. And He will provide us with every good thing. And He will avert all evil or turn it to our profit. Do you still believe that? We're baptized in the name of God the Holy Spirit. He promises to take care that we will appear unblemished. He will keep us on that narrow way. He will supply all for the perseverance of the saints. A whole Christian life from its very beginning in eternity past and our adoption of children all the way to glorification is all in God's hands. It's His responsibility and He will take complete care. All our spiritual, All our physical needs are all taken care of, guaranteed. When we are faithfully active with our baptism, we can commit ourselves and our children to God's hands. Well, you say, does baptism then have nothing to say to baptized unbelievers? Was baptism not a seal of God's dealings with them? Was God's promise not sincere for them? Oh, yes, it was. You can't get away from your baptism. Covenant breakers also take their baptism with them wherever they go. And it will accompany you your whole life long, and it will accompany you to your grave as an accuser. The promises of the Word of God turn out to be curses for baptized unbelievers. Baptism is not idle, beloved. It works in unbelievers as a curse. It remains a seal. And unless you turn to the God of your baptism, it will be a seal of your eternal damnation. One of our forefathers wrote, just like you can eat and drink judgment to yourself at the Lord's Supper without faith, so you can drown eternally in the waters of baptism without faith. Baptism pictures a grave, right? That's what the Bible says. It's always a grave. When we are buried with Christ in baptism, we will rise again. Otherwise, baptism is an eternal grave. And the waters of the Red Sea are such a clear picture of this. They gave safe passage to the children of Israel. Those very same waters were a grave to their enemies, the Egyptians. Think about it. If you're here this afternoon, or you're listening or watching, and you are a baptized unbeliever, and you stand before God's judgment seat, and He says to you, I never knew you, then no one can say that the promise of baptism was not true. But we'll have to acknowledge that God is just and right in all His doings. Well, that's a few thoughts, a few words about the instruction and assurance of holy baptism. We next treat its washing with the blood and the Spirit of Christ. Our second thought. Baptism not only assures us of the forgiveness of sins, it also speaks of the renewing of our lives. We are washed with the blood and the Spirit of Christ. That speaks of forgiveness and renewal, of justification and sanctification. Those are tied together. They're inseparably united. Scripture calls baptism the baptism of repentance and remission of sins. Mark chapter 1. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist says of Jesus, He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, a pastor who's preaching can't give you faith simply by preaching a sermon. And it's the same way he can't give you the Holy Spirit by baptizing you. But behind the pastor stands the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the one who does the work. He's the one who baptizes with blood and with His Holy Spirit. He baptizes us with the blood of Christ. And that means to receive from God the remission of sins freely. For the sake of Christ's blood, which He shed for us by His sacrifice on the cross. So when we are baptized, we are, as it were, baptized in a bath of Jesus' blood. And we come out completely free of guilt. But that's not all. That would only be half salvation. No, Christ also baptizes us with fire, with the Holy Spirit. He not only cleanses, He renews. He not only justifies His people, He sanctifies His people. He drives out the dross of sin in our lives through the Holy Spirit of purification. Sin is a power. There are people here who know this by experience. Sin in my life is a power. And that power must be broken. That's why Jesus gives the Holy Spirit to those who believe on Him. And that Holy Spirit makes sure that that believer becomes a new person. Christ doesn't only give us the right to become the children of God. He gives us the characteristics of the children of God. As He begins to conform us more and more to His image, Christ is also renewing us to be sanctified by His Holy Spirit. Forgiveness and renewal belong together like two sides of one coin. What God has joined together in baptism, let us not separate. That's a great danger for us. We're inclined to ignore the two little words in the middle of the answer to question 70. And also, yes, we all want the first part, forgiveness of sins, right? If I were to ask everybody, would you like to have your sins forgiven? Everybody would say yes. But the second part, to be sanctified as members of Christ. See, that's something that goes against my old nature. That goes against my flesh. Yes, to be declared righteous before God. I like that idea. But that my whole life must change. That's going to cost me something. I must die to sin. And as a result, lead holy and unblameable lives. Some of us start to back up when we hear these things. Being baptized, that's a painless experience. But this new life, is that evident in us? Is it seen that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit? Is that fire of the Holy Spirit burning away what is unholy in our lives? As we are being changed from grace to grace, as we are being conformed to Christ's image, whoever comes into contact with Christ's blood also comes into contact with Christ's Holy Spirit. Whoever speaks of having their sins forgiven and has no evidence of the renewal of life should perhaps reconsider. Are my sins forgiven? Because these two are connected. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Being baptized means being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Being sanctified as members of Christ. Now, baptized persons don't become holy persons through their own efforts. But are that already through the Holy Spirit of Christ? It's like in the question for baptism. Do you believe that your children are sanctified in Christ? And parents say, oh yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. And therefore, as members of Christ's church, ought to be baptized. See, so being baptized and becoming a new person may not be separated. Baptism is not meaningless. Some young people seem to think so. That's how I grew up. That's what I grew up thinking. Baptism, that's nothing. You only have to take life serious when you do public confession of faith. At least outwardly, you have to begin to toe the line now. Baptized persons are sanctified, separated from the children of unbelievers. So young people, being baptized and living ungodly lives is incompatible. Being baptized and living according to your own lusts is like trying to be a square circle or a round square, whatever picture you want to use. But when you see the evidence of living out of Christ, out of living out of His holiness, that's the fruit of being baptized and washed with the blood and the Holy Spirit of Christ. Our answer has more to say on this, but we'll take a look at it after we sing. The language of one of these baptized people who have come to faith in Christ. 362. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to Thee. All three verses of 362. Our answer continues that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. You remember how the form for baptism puts it? We are of God through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience. Namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we trust in Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. That's our obligation in baptism. And that's not in opposition to the gift of a new life that's promised. No, that obligation flows from that very gift. We are sanctified in baptism. But we are not yet completely holy people in our life's experience. That new life needs to be developed. That needs to take shape. It needs to be molded. It's like a tree that is planted. It begins to grow. But it takes time to reach maturity. And we are not passive in that process. We are active. Just like in daily life. Our breathing is in God's hands. We don't even think about that. Our heart beats too. And yet we know we must get sleep. We know we have to go to work, we have to eat to stay alive, and so it is in spiritual life. Wherefore, my beloved, says Paul, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We're not in this alone. It is God at work in us, enabling us to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's not something that happens only outside of us. God involves us. He changes our wills. He makes us willing to live according to His will. Or, as the Catechism puts it, so that we may die more and more unto sin. That's an absolute necessity. And it will be happening. And it is happening in the life of every believer because it is impossible not to bear fruit as a believer. Does that mean we don't sin anymore? Would to God it were so. But that's not what it is either. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy. Nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. What comforting words for a believer who sometimes through weakness falls into sin. And these words were never intended to lull us to sleep or to say, oh, you don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to be so fussy about it. You can begin to live in sin again. That's unthinkable for a baptized person. A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is always aware of the struggle against sin. Sin is there, but I don't want it there. I'm struggling, I'm fighting against it. So these words are not directed to those who gladly live in sin. Who are enjoying their sins and delighting in sin and loving their sins. No. Those who sometimes through weakness fall into sin. Such must not despair when sin seems to be so strong. Then we mustn't think that, well, now all is lost because I fell into sin again. That same sin. No. And we must remind ourselves we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. God is merciful. He delights in mercy. He delights to forgive sins of sinners who come back to Him time and again. And yet my salvation is not grounded in my struggle against sin, but in that eternal covenant of grace with God and the fact that He remembers His covenant. And when I'm pleading on His promises, sealed to me in baptism, promises like Isaiah 54 verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from me, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. What a beautiful name for our Lord. The Lord who has mercy on you. He says, my kindness shall never depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. See, that's what baptism does. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We go back to that baptism. We say, oh Lord, there you promised it. There you said it. The Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ. That's what baptism seals to me. And does it do all that? Does our catechism say all this on scriptural grounds? Is this really biblical? Yes, it is. Our third thought, baptism, scriptural grounds. Remember, I said this morning, our confessions summarize Scripture's teaching. And so we demand of them scriptural proof. And we get it. The answer to question 71 quotes Scripture. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Mark 16, the words of Jesus. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Titus 3, verse 5. Our text, according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing. That's the word for baptism. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, that shows that the language of the catechism is not too strong after all. Baptism is the washing of regeneration. Baptism is the washing away of sins. And Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22, arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And we need no further proof then that all of this is true for all believers who embrace the promises of baptism, who believe what God promises to us in baptism. That Jesus says in Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes, he shall be saved, and he would be saved even if he were not baptized. Baptism doesn't work salvation. We are saved by faith. The other ways around is true too. He who is baptized but does not believe shall not be saved. Doesn't know the powerful work of faith and doesn't have evidence of that renewal of life. Such people shall be damned. The Great Commission, Jesus said to his disciples, all power is given to me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the institution of baptism. Yes, John the Baptizer was already baptizing. In essence, the same baptism, but John was limited to one little place there on the shores of the River Jordan. But the baptism of Christ has gone to the ends of the world, embraces all nations. Baptism was never seen in this form and over such wide territory. It has gone worldwide. You ever think about that, children? When the Lord Jesus spoke those words way back 2,000 years ago, go therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and then you were baptized according to that word of the Lord Jesus. What an amazing thing that is. And it continues even this very day. But you know, the Pharisees in Jesus' days and Pharisees today, they didn't like John the Baptizer and what he taught. He said, you need to be baptized. And they knew what that meant. That meant that they are unclean and they needed to be washed. And John was telling them, you are unholy, you need to repent. And that aggravated them. They were circumcised, weren't they? Wasn't that enough? No, John condemned their circumcision without repentance and faith. And so we today must condemn a baptism that goes without repentance and faith. Because a baptism like that will bring you condemnation. Oh, beloved, baptism is a visible gospel presentation. And we either accept our baptism with all its blessings, or we reject it. We receive it by faith, or we refuse it. There's no third way. If you refuse to believe the promises of God in baptism, and thus in the gospel, then you are saying, I want to remain as a filthy, unclean sinner. But when you by faith receive and embrace all that baptism instructs and assures you of, then you are saying, I need to be and I am washed by the blood and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am saved by the God of grace, by the God of my baptism. God has dealt bountifully with me. Now, whether we were baptized as an infant of believing parents or as an adult believer, the essential instruction and assurance of baptism is the same. In baptism, God instructs and assures us of His forgiveness of all our sins. And also that He renews us by His Holy Spirit as members of Christ to be more and more conformed to His image and more die to sin and lead holy and unblameable lives in this world. Is that the reality of your life? And of your life. That's what baptism, based on Scripture, instructs us. What have you done with your baptism? What have you done with the God and the Jesus Christ of your baptism? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the precious, precious sacrament of holy baptism and what it seals and what it signifies, what it instructs and what it assures us of, how it leads us to contemplate and to reach out and to lay hold on the blood and the Holy Spirit of Christ. Oh Lord, we know these matters are scriptural. This is biblical. Yet we also acknowledge that so often we are so reluctant to embrace these awesome truths because the reality is we live so far from our God and from the reality displayed for us in baptism. Oh Lord, we pray, remember Thy people Lord, revive us with thy word, according to thy word. And cause us, O Lord, even in this very week, to come again and again to the throne of grace, to be reading thy holy word diligently, searching the scriptures, knowing that they direct us always to the Lord Jesus. O God, bless our children, thy covenant children, as we heard last week. Remember each one of them, O Lord, and we pray that not a single baptized person in this church, young and old, would have the audacity to say, that promise is not for me. O Lord, we pray, cleanse us from all iniquity. Take away our unbelief. Lord, that there may be many, even this very day, crying out to God, O Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Take care of us as we go back to work tomorrow. Lord, we pray that we may do our work diligently in a way that gives glory and honor to thy name, to thy cause. Bless us, O Lord. Keep us from sin. Forgive our many sins in Jesus' name. Amen.